Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Once again, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to the PRF table. I'm your host, Reverend Dunlap. We also have Reverend Feaster and Sister Sanders, our gracious, I used to say co-hosts, but they're no longer co-hosts because we all do this thing as a 1-2-3 knockout punch. So, Brother Feaster, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing fabulous. I'm excited. I am learning a lot, and I'm seeing what I'm going to learn tonight about tithing.
Very good, very good. Sister Sanders, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. Glad to be here again.
You know, before we bring our guest on, we have a special guest for you, ladies and gentlemen. Before we go ahead and introduce this brother, we're going to talk about what happened last week. Sister Sanders, Brother Feaster, if you recall, and this is for the benefit of those who were not here last week, it was just amazing how God operated. We had people who came on to and called into the show and actually shared tears. And these tears were tears that people had shared because they were in bondage. One sister got on the show and communicated to us that she felt like she was cursed because she wasn't tithing. So for those who are just tuning in, the title of the show last week was Truth in Tithing, and it was a part two. And the show tonight is Tithing Discontinued. It was amazing to me, y'all, how she said to us that she just thanked us so much and felt freedom for what we were doing. And I have to say, it's not what we're doing, it's what God is doing, because it was what we were able to bring to the table, and it was God that gave us whatever we needed to give to her for her to get free from being under this spirit of feeling like she was a failure. That's what this show is about. I tell everybody every week, I have an extensive career. I have extensive experience in teaching. I've done several things in this area of finances, but the PRF table, Possessions, Resources, and the Finances, it's not a show about helping you get out of debt. It's not a show about just helping you with your finances. It's not a show just about helping you clean up your credit, et cetera. It's not about just helping you get a job, but it's about connecting the dots between possessions, resources, and finances by showing everybody how each one of these three elements is interconnected and interconnected. And it's just like the people that live in community with one another. We are all connected regardless of our color, regardless of our race, regardless of our religion. And it's about a creative learning process, you know, led first and foremost by God so that all the people get an opportunity to learn and get an opportunity to grow. So by breaking down all these different spiritual and psychological and social and socioeconomical barriers that are holding people back from reaching their potential, we're just here on this show operating out of love, opening up a space for individuals to be able to come, share, talk about things that are not being talked about in the church, share, get answers to questions that they have nobody to answer these questions to. And it's not that myself, Brother Feaster, and Sister Sanders have the answers. We know that God Almighty has all the answers. However, he also uses us, and he also uses his word to be able to connect people. So with that, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, let me just tell you where we are. If you can remember last week, we had a brother by the name of Pastor Paul Sherrod out of the Mercy Seat of, the Seat of Mercy in Clarkston, North Carolina. I apologize, brother, for messing that up. And one of the things that happened last week was when this brother came on, I think there was crickets all over the place, because this brother, one of the things that he said was he discontinued tithing in his church. And he was very gracious last week, y'all, to not try to monopolize the conversation. And you know me, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, whatever God has for you to get out, let's go ahead and get it out. But we felt it just right. We felt it was an act of God that he called in and he shared last week, that we bring him back this week as a special guest and as a guest to be able to further expound on what he was talking about for those who heard but didn't hear, because it was very, very important that everybody gets an understanding of how this brother came to the point of being able to say, look, in my church, and of course we don't emphasize my as his as being in ownership, but in his church he just discontinued tithing and why that was important. So these are some of the things and some questions that we're looking to be able to get from this brother. So Pastor Sherrod, how are you doing this evening?
I am absolutely wonderful. God bless you. How is everybody tonight?
We are wonderful. We are wonderful. And I guess I can say this also, good man. You are the cousin of our host, Brother Peaster. Is that correct?
Well, see, I didn't know if he was going to own me or not, but if you're going to put it out there, yeah.
You know I'm going to own you up, cousin.
Hey, I try to tell everybody, it is what it is. You know, we can't choose who our family is. Family within the blood relationship or within the body of Christ. So whoever it is, we just have to go from there. I was going to do a small introduction from Pastor, but if you will, just I'll let you do that. If you can just give us a little background about yourself, where you're located. I know I've already put that out there, but just go ahead and welcome yourself at the seat at the table right now.
Well, first of all, truly, I'm humbled and honored just to be here. I count it as a blessing. I really don't think that a whole bunch about me is really important, other than I'm a man that loves the Lord. The church, as you have said, the name is the Seat of Mercy. They're located in Clarkston, North Carolina, and we're just people who love God and choose to live right according to what the Word has said.
Sounds good to me. So let's just tell everybody how the show is going to go tonight. Basically, we're just going to be sitting at the table, everyone, and just having a conversation with Pastor and allow him to just share with him his experience of tithing, how he implemented this thing of discontinuing tithing, and what led up to it. And if you have any conversation that you would like to bring to the table, please feel free by pressing 1 on your dial pad. We'll see you light up on the switchboard. We'll bring you into the conversation. And by all means, if you have questions for Brother Sherrod, please just go ahead and press 1, and we'll bring you in, and I'm sure he'll be more than gracious to answer those questions. So, Pastor, are you ready?
About as ready as I'm going to get.
I got you. Particularly, what was very interesting to me was, one, and I said this last week, it is very rare that we get pastors that actually want to come and actually share and be a part of this conversation. You know, this is the PRF table, so the terminology that we often use is we're offering a seat to anybody who wants to come and sit at the table. We all do not have to have the same understanding of everything. We all don't have to agree on the same thing. But it's just
right.
like if we were to go to the movies. When we all go to the movies, there is a movie that we want to see. We paid our admission, got free tickets, however we got there, snucking through the back door, whatever. And we're all having our mind focused on whatever that movie is up on the screen. When we talk about tithing, this is a God thing. So for everybody, however tithing is done or not done, or giving is done or not done, it should be about a God thing. And I think that it was very, very critical that people not be judgmental. And I'm just setting it up and saying it straight up from the jump, that people not be critical about discontinued tithing. Let's everybody just take a seat. You have a seat at the table. Sit back, listen to what's being discussed. Let God speak to your heart. And I said last week, myself, I'm a minister. Pastor, of course, is a minister. Brother Feast is a minister. Sister Sanders is a minister as well. And what I said last week was this: I believe in tithing. There's nothing that this brother is going to say that's going to convince me that I don't need to tithe. But the reason why I tithe is a personal reason. It's not out of obligation. It's not what we talked about in the previous show. I think when we had our first show, Truth in Tithing, Part 1, we talked about what tithing was not. Tithing is not, Brother Feaster, you said Malachi 3, verse 8 through 10, that's not the beatdown scripture. It's not a way that an individual who has an opportunity or has a pulpit to be able to beat somebody into submission to giving. So we discussed a whole bunch of things about what tithing is not. So let's just start off there, because we have to be able to sit down and have conversation with each other. Everything begins with a conversation. So I'm going to just go ahead and I think I've talked enough, Brother Sherrod. We're going to just let you just go ahead and start the dialogue. And just tell us, from your background perspective, how did you grow up? You know, did you grow up in the church? Give the listeners a little bit of feel of who you are. And we know it's not about elevating you. We got you. We understand that. But I think it's important for the journey of tonight's conversation that they understand where you came from and how you experienced tithing from your days in early in the church, so we can paint a picture of where everything led up to for you to make that decision.
Surely. I was born in Baltimore, Maryland, and at the time, my father had one of the most rapidly growing churches in the city area, which was the Solid Rock Apostolic Faith Church. And I believe my first word was Genesis, you know. When you're a pastor's child, when you're a PK, you learn, you become that trophy child, and that's exactly what it was. So I was, you know, consumed with all things church. And, I mean, when I say church, we churched. You know, we went to church 6 days a week.
Wow.
Oh, yes, sir. There was Sunday school at 10 o'clock on Sunday. There was a 12 o'clock service, a 4:30 service, and a 7:30 service. On Monday, there was a regular service. On Tuesday was Bible class. On Wednesday was praying and tarrying. On Thursday was Young People's Night. And on Friday was Evangelical Night. One of the ministers preached. And this was every week.
Wow.
And I was told and believed and accepted my entire life up until this point that I should tithe and that I was against God if I did not, and that tithing not only ensured financial freedom, it ensured acceptability to God. And I do want to piggyback on a couple of things that our dear brother Dunlap has already said, and I really appreciate that. I am in no ways the leader of an occult and trying to recruit.
Amen.
I'm not trying to bring in a new age, a new fad, a new thing. I'm not trying, you know, my whole goal is simply to share what God has placed in me. If nothing else is taken from this conversation tonight, I want everyone to have the drive to seek God for your cup and what it is that individually he's calling out of us.
Okay.
What's going on? I was very happy with tithing. And I say that because I want to dispel those that may believe that I was just trying to find a way not to give up the money.
Right, right.
I did faithfully. I mean, I was raised up in it. When I got an allowance, they took the tithe out my allowance before it hit my hand. I'm dead serious. I mean, it was almost like taxes. If I got a dollar, I pulled a dime somewhere and made sure that dime made it back to the church. And I was happy with that. So, I mean, it's not like I had a gripe against it. It's not like I wanted to keep my money. I have no problems with it. So I wasn't trying to find a way out. But I will say this, and I'll go ahead and move on. I was in my bed, sleeping quite well. And God woke me up in the middle of the night, and I couldn't go back to sleep at all. And so I got up, and I really wanted to go back to sleep. So instead of going into the living room, I went into the bathroom, and I sat there, and I just couldn't relax. I couldn't get back to sleep. I couldn't get back into that sleep mode. And so I began to say, well, Lord, what is it that's going on? Because I figured out after a while there was a God thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And God simply spoke to me and said, money. That was it. And so when he said money, I got happy. You know, God wake you up about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning and say, money. You know, I'm up now. All right, God, speak to me. You know, I'm ready to go. I'm glad. You know, coming in a Hyundai, all that stuff. I'm ready. So I get up and I jump behind the computer and I start prosperity and what God says about money and spiritual finances and financial freedom. And, you know, I'm waiting for God to speak to me about money. And as I was searching, a question came up on the screen. It is tithing for the New Testament church. And my spirit stopped. My spirit stopped. And I started arguing. Of course it is.
you know, nobody's there but me, the Lord, and a computer screen.
All right.
And I'm audibly arguing, but I couldn't get past it. So I begin to read it. And after I read it, you know, God deal with us as he deal with us.
Right.
And there sometimes he'll tell me, shut up and listen. Because where I am, if he doesn't shut me up, I'm going to keep on going. And that was a shut up and listen moment. And I had to really pay attention to what I was reading. And I sat there. I said, God, you got to give me this. Because this is going against everything I think I know. And it's hard when you've accepted something personally as true and as mandatory to stand and say, I've done this many years to please God, and yet the Spirit of God tells me not to do it.
Wow.
So it was some serious personal internal conflict, and it took a while, man. It took a while. And the next thing I know, it was about, I don't know what time in the morning, the sun had come up, and I'm running up and down the hall and in the living room just blessing God and thanking God because I finally received what he was saying to me. And, I mean, there's so many ways to really say it. I believe that, yes, I'm sorry, I believe that many people, especially in the demography where I am, the demography here, everything is really traditionally done. Mm-hmm. And here they are definitely creatures of habit. And they find security and acceptability in their traditions. And so it was kind of like, all right, God, I'm happy. I got it. I'm blessed. But I'm not a lay number.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just sit and have my own personal revelation and be happy now. I now
right.
have to stand and relate this to the church. And there's a realistic approach. You know, bills got to be paid down at the church. Life
right.
bills got to be paid. Rent got to be paid. You know, things got to be done. And you're saying, and you're about to go into a place to tell people, well, you don't have to give a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did something that was very selfish and foolish in the same respect. I started calling some pastor friends of mine, which, of course, instantly killed it.
I can imagine that.
Oh, man, they don't do that. You know people don't give nothing now. If you mess around and take away what you make, they ain't going to give nothing. You're going to fold up. You're going to fold up. Don't you be a fool in the face. Don't you do that. You know people don't hardly want to give. I mean, I caught it. But there was a responsibility I had with me. After I got out the pulpit and after I took off the robe and after I came home, I had to shut the door and look in the mirror and look me in the eyes and sleep.
What?
And so I warned the church. I said, I forget exactly when it was, I said, but the next Bible class, we're going to speak on tithing. I said, and before you get excited, I'm asking everybody to be praying when you come.
Wow.
And so the date came, we had the Bible class, and at the end of the Bible class, I could have cried. There was, and I mean this from my heart, absolutely no opposition.
Mm.
In fact, my mother-in-law, which is the teacher for the house, she began to say, I'm so glad. She called me son all the time. She is my mama. She said,
right.
Son, I'm so glad you brought that out. She said, God gave me that years ago, but people wouldn't accept it.
Mm.
And God has truly blessed us since then. We went from being a home ministry to getting a building. We're at a place where we can just give away food and give away clothing. All of our needs as a congregation is met. and even to be in the help to the community and to each other. And it has been a true, earnest blessing to each and every one of us. And I don't know if at this point if there's any questions or any point of speak. I don't want to just sit here and be running my mouth. So I guess I'll hush for a minute just in case there's anything that needs to be said so far.
Well, bro, I know Brother Freestyle did have something, but something that you said, my brother, you said God pretty much was saying shut up and listen. And with all due respect to everybody listening, sometimes that's what we need to do. We just need to be quiet and listen, because if I'm speaking and you're speaking, neither one of us are really hearing each other. If I'm speaking, God is speaking, then I'm not listening to the one that I need to be listening to. He already knows what I'm going to say, but I don't know what he's going to say. So it's a good thing that we have these quiet moments on the show. It's a good thing that the phone lines are not blowing up, because we've had these type of shows before where the phone lines are not blowing up, and it's okay, because God needs to do something in somebody's heart. God needs to do something in some minister, some man or woman of God's heart, so that they can get to a point, whether it's, you know, this may be a revelatory moment, not about tithing, but about something else that someone knows deep down in their heart we're doing in the church. You're doing in your church. So I love this show. I love how God has given us this platform, because as we keep telling everybody, this is just not a show about finances. For those who are just tuning in for the first time, and Brother Freestyle, I'm coming to you next. The first time that we actually first started talking about money was about 3 weeks ago, and the show started last year. So that lets you know that, you know, everything is not about a dollar. It's really about hearing from God and finding out what God wants to do. So, Brother Feaster, go ahead, brother. I know you've been waiting patiently to get back to your cuz.
I just got a question for you, cuz. And this is one of the questions that I've asked a couple of weeks here. As you was doing your research on tithing and you did to discontinue tithing in your church, did you look at it simply and solely about money? Because I think that's one of the problems that I see, as if we see tithing only monetarily.
Man, that's actually one of the bigger revelations I got when I looked into tithing. Because I actually, and again, I'm sharing a personal experience, and I'm being honest, but I mean no disrespect to anybody. But I remember I looked back and I said, really? Out of all of these years, I've been giving money, I could have gained some herbs and spices and grain and meat and been all right, you know? man is always trying to find the sure thing. And it was easy in the eyesight of man to obligate God if we did something good. So it was easy to accept, I made the sacrifice of this 10% of my money, so God has to do everything else for me because I've done this for him. And y'all know I got some good coaching going on in the background. Y'all just can't hear it. But that's not what tithing is on. Tithing, and I'm going to say this, and again, I'm going to use this as my last disclaimer, because I do feel I'm moving up the Spirit of God. I'm not trying to down anybody for following what God has placed in you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with my conviction.
Amen.
But a lot of times we see tithing as, you know, the same way they did the law. We hold this, please, David. The same way they did the law, which was, I obey this, I do this, and I am now acceptable to God, or I'm accepted by God. And they missed the whole concept of the law was not to obligate God to man, but to remind man of their need for God. And that's the very same thing with tithing. Tithing wasn't meant to obligate God to keep man into financial stability. Tithing actually started out of gratefulness.
Mm-hmm.
When Abraham was given a victory in battle, he took a tenth of what he had and gave that to Melchizedek.
Right.
Not because thunder crashed and lightning flashed. Not because the angel of the Lord came down and said, fear not. Thank you. That's it. I don't know if y'all can hear Mom in the background. She said it wasn't mandatory. It was something that came from the heart. And that is the origin and the backbone of tithing that we keep in our minds and in our hearts. There always, always should be something we are ready to give to God.
So my question still stands, though. Did you just stop it monetarily, or did you expand it?
Actually, tithing, the Bible speaks of a 10% of increase. Increase.
Right.
Whatever comes in, which is definitely going to be more than just money. God gives us more than money. There was a point in time where I looked at it, I said, God gives me 24 hours a day. And so I begin to devote, on top of everything else, 2 hours and 40 minutes to him. God gives us so much, but it's easy for us to focus in on money because it makes us feel like God is obligated to take care of us financially. But the original tithe was not money.
Right.
The original tithe, first of all, and God bless you, I love you, the tithing was not for the church. The tithing was not for the prosperity of the church. The tithing was for the high priest because they were devoted completely to working in the temple and working before God, and they could not earn a means to support their families. So then the tithe was to feed the priest and his family, not to take them down the Nordstrom's.
That's right.
Not to put gas in their Cadillacs. And again, I'm speaking of my own conviction, but it was to feed them. Now, if we're going to have that concept, somebody should be down at the church house 24/7.
You're taking it somewhere now, cuz. You're taking it somewhere. Because I'm in agreement with you. I think a lot of times we have, you know, a couple of shows ago we talked about value and when we were talking about stewardship, and we based a lot of our stewardship on how we valued a certain thing. And so now that we're in such a materialistic, monetarily society, we have placed them, their president, so high that nothing else equals or has greater value than that $1 bill. When in fact, there are so many more things. And so even when it comes in the church house and tithing, we have placed such a high value on money that we think that that's the only way that God blesses us. And the other thing that gets me is, when people look at tithing as in you're depositing money into the church, as if tithing is your own personal account at the church. And we're missing the point. God, you may give a tithe of money and receive a blessing of health, or you may give a tithe of time and receive a blessing of a job, you know?
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And my thing is, we look now on tithing as this means I'll get. But tithing was purely about giving. The entire tithe was consumed by the high priest and his family. You didn't get a kickback. You didn't get a tally at the end of the year and say, I gave you 2 camels, 2 doves, you know, and, you know, this is my cut. There was no kickback. So why then, if I'm going to go under the concept of tithing, that I believe I'm financially secure, that I'm supposed to get something back? That's not what the tithing was. Am I in trouble yet?
No, you're in good ground. You're in good territory. You're walking real good right now, because and that's one of the things that we talked about on the show, and I'm not sure how many times you listen, but we don't deal with it in its obvious, because a lot of times that's where we're stuck. We're stuck in the obvious. And right now, a lot of people, like the lady called in last week, and she was crying because she believed that if she did not put money into church, 10% of her income, that she was going to be cursed. And my problem with that is, when do we get to the point, or better yet, forget the when, why are we at a point where we only value money when it comes to tithing? So what we're saying is God is only, you know, we're putting God in a can, and one of the phrases I haven't heard in church in a long time. We're putting God in a can, and we're saying this is all God can do. So if I give God 10 cents out of this dollar, then all God can do with that is give me more money. And, I'm trying not to be frustrated.
And, you know, we, you know, I really try, I always call it, and this is my own terminology, the King James mentality. Because we understand the Bible we have now, known as the King James Version, was altered because the kingdom of King James began to enlarge, and it was to a point to where the military could not handle everyone into discipline. So, you know, the Bible, as we know it under the King James Version, was kind of made to give towards people that if you don't conduct yourselves, God will get you. And we're still doing that. And I say this boldly and I say this honestly. Anytime you use anything to manipulate someone to expected performance, that is witchcraft.
Uh-oh.
I was about to say the same thing, JR.
Well, I mean, just tell me to hang up if I get to the wrong place, but I'm going to be true to myself while I'm here. It's if you use anything, whether it be the Bible, whether it be intimidation, whether it be fear, whether it be influence, if you use anything to manipulate somebody into an expected performance, it's witchcraft.
So, Brother Paul, talk a little more about what happened after you discontinued tithing in your church. You briefly mentioned it, but talk about that a little more.
Well, I'll tell you what, I actually have a deacon here with us. Okay, I have a deacon here with us. I'm sorry, I'm trying to multitasking. And I'll let him kind of speak because he handles most, if not all, of the finances. And he can speak a little bit better on that. This is Deacon Arthur Thompson.
Yes, sir. Good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
Hello,
good evening.
Sir.
How you doing?
All right. I just want to say the church that we at, God has blessed us with a pastor that got an insight to different things, that, and he got his heart tuned to God. And I guess the same way we have, because we all are going the same direction and we got all things in common. And like back when I got saved back in 1982, I don't want to take up the whole program, but back in 1982, dealt about shortly after, the Lord dealt with me about tithing because I had uncles and brothers, first cousins, aunts that was preaching, and they all preached the same thing about tithing, but they had to give tithing like it was hurting them to give. You know, they was, back then, there was a lot of sharecropping going on, and all they could give was the, when they gave, the family went lacking, but they still gave because they knew, they felt that if they didn't give, they would be cursed. You know the thing about curse with a curse, you know, and if you don't give. But anyway, God found me and my wife, and he showed us that shortly after we got saved, and we was trying to teach it, but people ridiculed us so bad, and us being young, so we put it on the back burner. And you know how you do things when you put something on the back shelf, dust accumulates on it, and you overlook it, and you keep going past it day after day and year after year. But anyways, to make a long story short, we got about active members. We got probably about 6 members active. And these seniors, a lot of senior citizens, people with fixed income. But I tell you what the pastor says, our bills get met each and every week. There's hardly a week that goes past it that we don't collect at least $200 to $300 a week.
That's right.
From those few members, the bills are always met, and I thank God for that. And we if I take up an offering, I tell if we have anybody there that's not a member, I say, put in your mind and your heart what you're going to give before collection comes. Because if you put it in your mind, you're going to give it cheerfully, that portion I want to take up. But if you got any other part you don't want to give, keep it in your pocket. Because God is not going to bless you if you got if you're not going to give cheerfully from your heart. So that's what I tell you. We are cheerful givers. And whatever God put on our heart to give each and every time, that's what we do.
Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
Well, Pastor, let me just say you've stirred up the pot, and it's okay that the pot has been stirred up, because in all actuality, these are the conversations that the body of Christ really needs to have. As I said at the top of the hour, if you cannot have a conversation with a brother or sister, then there's something wrong with the relationship. And we understand that God is all about relationship. So we have to do what we have to do. I do have a question, though. Unless Sanders, you have something that you wanted to bring out, just let me know or interrupt me.
Am I good now?
You're good.
Well, I just had I guess it's more of a comment and just a thought that as I was just listening to everything that came to me, was that it seems like faith is probably the biggest factor out of everything that I heard Pastor Sherd say and the other gentleman that was just talking. It just sounded like faith, and it sounds like that when we give to God, we're giving out of our faith and we're giving out of the abundance that He's given us. Because Pastor Sherd made when he was talking, he talked about, you know, making sure that the members knew what was going on and why the decision was the way that it was. And we all know that the Word of God lets us know that when we give, as was already said, that we have to give cheerfully. But faith seems to be a big factor in that as well, because when we give, you know, we're not always giving to receive anything back in return, but we give because we know how good God is. We believe His Word. And so I just wanted to just kind of go into, just to bring that up, that the aspect of faith seems to be also a big part of our giving and how we give unto the Lord. And that's all I wanted to say.
Is it all right to respond to that?
Oh, please, most definitely.
All right. My dear sister, thank you for that, and I appreciate that. That's so very true. That's so very, very, very true. But I think a lot of people, and I'm not saying this to you, but I know where you're coming from with it. But a lot of people get that, even in itself, a little misconstrued. They give with the concept that I'm giving and I'm believing that when I give, I'm going to get. But the key thing you said is that we give, and I love you for bringing this out, we give out of the abundance of what God has given to us. Most of us never get wealth because we never need it. We have needs in our minds as far as bills and things we would like to have. But one thing, well, I can say what God said to me. God said, you understand financial discipline, but you don't understand the purpose of wealth. And that was a big thing for me. We don't give to get. We're going to get.
That's right.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
We're going to get simply because we found out that it's not about works. It's not about works. That's why we get salvation. It's not because we decided one day, hey, I'm going to be a better person. That's how we get righteousness. It's not because we say, I'm going to stop sin. I'm going to be perfect from here on out. But because we realize that these were things that God simply has, hallelujah, Glory to God. That these are things that God had to give to us. We received them. But we have, as Brother Feast was saying earlier, we have esteemed money so high that we don't want to leave that up to faith. We want something that will ensure we're going to get money.
Man, that's an awesome point, man, because, it you know, you tied it into what you said earlier, and I just want to, So I think that we are at the point now to where we see the receiving portion as opposed to the giving portion. And the blessing is not in the receiving. The blessing is in the giving. And as I'm talking, I'm thinking about Abraham was promised to be the father of many nations. And after years, he bore a son. His wife bore a son. And God said, after years of him being with that son and seeing the dream come and him raising that son, God said, now what I want you to do is take that son and go sacrifice that son. And Abraham got up. And he went to the mountain, which God told him to go to, and he sacrificed a son. And throughout the entire process, he had faith, even to the point to where the son said, Father, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where is the meat for the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. And Abraham went up there, put his son on the altar, and prepared to fulfill what God said. The blessing was in the fact that he went all the way to the point, believing that God will raise him from the dead, fulfilling his promise. He went all the way to the point to where God stopped him. And based on that, he was rewarded by God providing a ram. And I think we see that as not a reward, but we see that as the byproduct, not necessarily the byproduct, but we see that as, you know, and obligated, God was obligated to provide the sacrifice. God ain't really obligated to do a whole lot of nothing. You know what I'm saying? And I think we see the tithing as a bank, as something that, you know, it's tit for tat, and it's not tit for tat. If I give my tithe for an entire year of money or of time or of resources, and I don't receive any money, time, or resources back, so do I stop tithing? Is tithing ineffective? And I don't think we see it in that aspect to where, you know, it's not, like you said, Paul, it's in the giving and not in the receiving.
You know, let me jump in there because y'all have been going and we appreciate it. And anybody else who is out there listening, you're listening to the PRF table. Tonight's show is Tithing Discontinued? And we have Pastor Paul Sherd of Clarkton, North Carolina, the Seat of Mercy Church or Ministry. And we're really just discussing a continuation from last week about his decision as pastor of the house that God has placed him as the under-shepherd to discontinue tithing. And for those who are just tuning in to the radio show, we ask you to just go back and listen to the archives when the show is over so you can get the full aspect, because we really don't want people to be misunderstood just by the title. We want people to get understanding, and as Pastor said, allow God to really speak to your heart about what it is that you need to be doing. Pastor, I do have a question. I think it's kind of worth really discussing for a few minutes. And Brother Feaston, when you mentioned, you know, how do the bills pay? If there is a church that is out there, or a ministry that is out there that either has that demographic that you were speaking of or where you're physically located at, or tithing is a tradition, and we know how we are in the church about traditions. They're hard to break because they've been there for so long, and individuals do not want to accept change. So what is it that you can say to the people that are out there listening, especially other pastors, in addition to everything else you said? Because there's something critical. Something critical is, how do we pay the bills of this church? How do we keep the lights on? How deep did you have to press in? when you talked to your other pastor friends and they said, man, don't do this. It's not going to work. If you do it, they're already not giving. How did you press in during that time before this actually got instituted in your church?
No, you mean how I press in? Elaborate on that, please. What's the question?
Sure, because, you know, as ministers, you know, we often connect with other ministers. Sometimes it's lonely in this profession, in this vocation. You can't talk to everybody. You can't share what God has shared with you with everybody. More often than not, as a minister, as a pastor, our circle of friends is kind of small. That's what I found out in my experience. I don't have a million pastor friends, because once you start listening to all million of those pastor friends, you're going to get yourself conflicted because you're going to have so many different opinions. Not everybody, just because they have the title of pastor or minister, is going to give you what God says. They're going to give you what they say. I don't believe it was God that said, told you not, you don't need to do this. I believe that individual who told you that was speaking out of their flesh because of that central question. How are you going to keep things flow?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to pay the bills? So when I'm talking about pressing in, if somebody else has received this same revelation that you received at 3:00 in the morning, whether it was them looking on a computer or whether they just woke up or whether they were driving in a car, when we get those revelatory moments from God and we talk to other folks, especially men and women of God, it makes it where we have to press in and really connect with God and really pray about it. I'm trying to ask, what did you do? You know, did you have to pray hard? Did you have to fast? You know, what was it that you had to do?
What I had to do is be confident in standing alone. I had to absolutely be fine with being the only one. Oftentimes we look for validity in numbers. If so many back me up, then I must have been right. I had to know that I heard God. And that doesn't mean that nobody else but me have heard him. It doesn't mean that anyone that disagrees didn't hear him. It meant that I knew for myself that I heard God. And that's what, not just in this situation, that's what it takes for our walk, period.
Right.
The way I pressed in is I said, Lord, you gave this to me, and I'm going to stand on it until you take it back. If you don't take it, I'll keep it. And I had to be honest. I said, Lord, if you take it back, then everything else has to shut down. Because if I didn't hear this right, if you can just give a wishy-washy word, something's wrong in your speaking or in my hearing.
Right.
Something's wrong, either in your speaking or in my hearing. And it's not going to be wrong on God's hand.
But
we have to be willing to step out there in lawns that haven't been mowed and in ways that haven't been paved. And it's not about saying, hey, I'm new and I got this. It's about saying, hey, I love God, and the church ain't got nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I say quite often, I found God when I left the church.
There you go.
And for me, that was literal. I found myself, actually, I had left the church, and I found myself in a situation to where I said, God, I need you. I don't need the Sunday morning choir, and I don't need the church experience. I need you. And it was at that place I found God. And once I found God, I knew what church really was supposed to be. We have to be willing to find God wherever we got to go to find him.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you have to be pressing in is no more than a matter of meaning from your heart. I will please God. It doesn't mean you're going to get wrapped up in a white cloth and you're going to be perfect for the rest of your life, but it means there's going to be an element to you that will lead you the way you're supposed to go.
I like what you said, because you said, and notice, and I'm sitting here listening to you answer the question, but you didn't answer the question in the way that I thought you was going to answer the question. You answered the question to where you said nothing about the church, the finance of the church, the business side of the church, the organization of the church, the running of the church, but you answered the question based on your relationship with God. And what and if I'm wrong, please correct me. And what I heard in that was, I don't really, it doesn't even matter about the finances of the church because it's God's church. What matters is I heard from God. And if that means I got to stand alone, then I know I heard from God because you understood that when you say this and you get the opposition, that the only thing that's going to keep you standing, the only thing that's going to give you that background, that base, that support, is that you heard from God. So then when everybody else says you're crazy, you can look at them and say, look at Noah. Noah built the ark in the desert. And the Bible don't give an account of what his neighbor said, what his friend said, what the people around in the town said. But I'm sure the people looking at him like he was crazy. You know, but he heard God. And he built that ark based on he heard God, not on everybody else agreed or disagreed, not on that don't sound like God, but he heard God, and he stepped out on faith, in faith, on what he heard. And you said the same thing. You didn't mention nothing about no lights. You ain't mentioned nothing about the upkeep and the maintenance and the support. You said this thing was based on a relationship with my God that I serve. And I thought that was just profound and phenomenal. Because normally I say we, but this time I'm saying me. That is not how I expected to hear you answer that question. I expected to hear, we have never been late on our bills, or, we've always been over, or people have always been willing to give. But no, you said this thing ain't got nothing to do with none of that. It ain't got it's got to do with me and God. And God, if I heard you, then I heard you. If I didn't hear you, then there's something wrong, and I got to go back and check something.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, cuz.
I'll say this brief. I don't want to monopolize the time. That's absolutely right. Paul, Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I built my church. The church was built on a profession, proclamation that Jesus was the Christ. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. I may be a pastor, but that is not my church. I'm not responsible for it. It is the church of Christ. He's responsible for it. I'm responsible for obeying him. I'm not the CEO. I'm the COO. I'm the operating manager. He owns it. It's his bill. hallelujah. Glory. It's his bill, and that's what we lose. So often we want to, and God recently, just over the past week or so, has been getting me out of this. We try to prove our Christianity. We try to prove our salvation. We try to prove our position. I am what I am. If you don't see it, God bless you.
Yeah.
I don't have to waste all this time, effort,
people, mentality out of your mind.
That's it.
I just want to say we've been listening to her in the background, so how about you guys just come to the telephone and
I sure will. This is our teacher of the house, Teacher Connie Thompson. Just one moment.
All right.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
How are you doing? Right. I'm glad to finally hear your voice up close and personal. I think everybody else wanted to hear it too. I got
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I received a text message or two about you, so I said if I don't get this sister of God on the telephone so that all the listeners can hear, I think I would have kind of been in trouble. So I'm glad you took the mic for it. I have a question. You were the sister that Pastor was referring to, that you had heard this or this was spoken to you before the pastor actually brought it before the church at Bible class?
Exactly.
How long was it, if you don't mind me asking, from the time that you heard this or you felt this in your spirit to the time that this actually was brought up in this Bible class? Was it a matter of years or was it months, or how long was it?
Before I met Pastor Paul Sherrod, see, I got saved back then, 1982. And
okay.
As you heard my husband said, we were always ridiculed about paying a tenth. We only made, my husband at the time, only made like $300 a month. And if we
right.
didn't give a tenth of that $300 a month, we were ridiculed at the church. I felt bad. There were times that I didn't want to go to church because I had to pay a tithe and I didn't have it. So that made me search the scriptures. I said, God, what is wrong here? I said, your word said, when you sent them out, you said, take not scrip. He told them, don't take any money from it. That's what he was saying. Don't take any money from anyone, but where you lodge, that's where you lodge.
Mm-hmm.
I say, so what's wrong with the picture? What's wrong with the churches today? You have people that's on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of these pastors that's living in big houses, fine cars, and the lay members are barely making it.
Mm.
What's wrong with this picture? And he turned me back to Malachi, and he let me know that he never asked anyone to give a tit to anybody. That was man's doing. Man did that. That came from man, not God. As Pastor Sherrod said, the tithes that were given in Malachi was for the priest to feed the priests and their family. God was the one that kept the temple, the tabernacle, going. And I want to say this too.
Please.
If God is in you and I'm in God, first of all, the Bible said that God so loved the world that he did what?
He gave.
He gave. So if God is in you, you're going to automatically give.
That's it.
But it's not a thing. I might give more than 10%.
Right.
Come on.
You see what I'm saying? So if it's a matter of giving, a child of God is going to automatically give anyway. It's man that puts this thing on the church, heaping burdens on the people with this 10%. And that is not what God intended. My pastor's ushering me. Let me let him.
I said, what I wanted to say is, I really want to piggyback on that, then I'm going to hush for any comments, questions, whatever. But God, when I discontinued the tithing in church, everybody said, your church going under, them people ain't going to give nothing. It was the exact opposite effect.
That's right.
They gave more
wow.
than a tenth would ever do. And I learned that that is the blessing of giving. When you give, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, somewhere around 6 or 7, that let a man give as he has purposed in his heart, grudgingly and not out of necessity.
That's right.
When you obey man, you get man's reward.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you let people hear God, see, what God is going to do
is bless their socks off and then give them a heart to give, and then you got overflow in the church, and it's going to come back to them because they gave, and they got to get that harvest. And that is, to answer the question before, that is how the abundance has come to our church, because God has blessed people so much for giving, and then he blessed them to give, and then he blessed them in giving, and gave them a heart to give again.
Exactly.
I feel Sunday morning. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to start howling. And let me say this, beside me, you have, when God gives you something, I tell my pastor, know me like this, when God gives you something, you got to be ready to face the world alone. Because 9 times out of 10, when God gives you something, most of the time, man is not there. So you're going to have to learn, first of all, to stand alone. When God gives you something, you have to be unmovable. From that word, you have people coming all out of the woodwork telling you why you are wrong. But if you know you heard the voice of God, you stand on it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot be unmovable. And that's when I brought that to my pastor. We sat out and we broke down the word, precept by precept. We broke it down while God came in and gave us the understanding. Mm. Understanding has to come from God. It can't come from our own intellect.
Come on.
Our understanding to God is a filth rag. Our. That's why understanding has to come from Him.
That's all I can
say. So, y'all see why I got to be on top of mine, right?
let me just say this to everybody. Again, if you have not been on with us since 8 o'clock this evening, please go back and listen to the archive so that you can get the full understanding. You may have already got the revelation from God for whatever he is calling you to do, which may not be in this area of tithing. What everybody really needs to understand, in addition to all the other things, is that obedience is key. It's not about obeying God, obeying man, excuse me, it's about obeying God. So for those individuals that tithe in the church and they give because they feel oppressed or that because they feel under this curse out of Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, and they're giving not from their heart, but they're giving because they don't want, they're going to give the 10% because they don't want the other 90% to be taken away. That's not cheerful giving. So in the big scheme of things, just be obedient to God. Give from your heart. Let it be, as stated in 2 Corinthians, be a cheerful giver. And I say that because there are some issues that we have to overcome. It is a great thing, Pastor, that you've been able to listen to what God spoke to you. And I also think it's a very good thing that you took it to the church, you spoke about it on Sunday, but you spent time with your congregation. You spent time with your brothers and sisters breaking this thing down. I had a conversation with a very, very good friend of mine who is a pastor. And at the end of the conversation or through the conversation, one of the things that he mentioned was you have to be willing to teach the people.
Amen.
You have to be willing to teach the people. The ministry that God gave me is not about getting behind a pulpit and preaching every Sunday. It's a teaching ministry. And this is the area that God has given me. And this is what myself, Brother Future, Sister Sanders, this is what we do week after week, regardless of how many quote-unquote preaching engagements we get. It's not about that. We have to do what God has called us to do. And when I was talking with this, my good friend, my pastor that I was speaking with yesterday, what you said that you did, Pastor, you took it before the people and there was actually teaching going on. I think it is absolutely amazing that people stood behind you. People actually heard and and listen to what the word of God was coming through you as the under shepherd of that house. And it's a testimony that they have as individuals, which is going to help increase the word of God to others. I say this unapologetically. I know me. I'm cool with tithing. There's no reason for me to stop tithing because I know it's not about, and this is me and my household, it's not about giving 10% because it's being asked for by the pastor. I don't do it because of that. I heard it, and when I heard it years ago, I realized that something is wrong with this picture.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, there was a lot of individuals that I was seeing in churches that I traveled to that was broke, busted, and disgusted. Were not able to make it from paycheck to paycheck. That was asking the question, why am I living like this? And I'm doing, as I mentioned several weeks ago, about the sister who approached me outside of a place where we live. This sister said, something is wrong with this picture. I give my tithes. I give it back. Direct me to give. I help others. I don't have any of these bad vices she was talking about. I don't drink my money away. I don't smoke my money away. I don't gamble. I don't do any of these other things that hinders God from blessing me because I'm squandering what he's given me. But she's sick and tired of working paycheck to paycheck and giving but not seeing the return. And I had to tell her, that's some teaching that's going to have to happen in order for you to get the true revelation and understanding. And I mentioned something to her. I said, are you tithing in the place that God has directed for you to tithe?
Hello.
I mentioned that, and I'm going to tell you, brother, if we need to talk about this next week or the week after next, we have the space on the PRF table to do that. Because in Deuteronomy 12, when God gave this law of tithing, he spoke specifically about tithing in the place where he selected for the children of Israel to tithe, the place where his name will be worshipped and honored. So I think there's a misconception that if I join a church today, this is the place where I'm being fed, so I have to tithe there. Again, that's another thing of compulsion. It's not a thing of giving from the heart. We're going to dissect this thing as much as we need to dissect it so that more and more people get the revelation so God can speak to their hearts. And we're approaching the time where getting ready to end the show. But if you're on the line and you're listening and you have some comments or some questions, by all means, please press 1 on your dial pad. We love to hear from you. This is not about anybody changing their perspective of tithing. If you're doing it and you're doing it from the heart and you believe that this is what God wants you to do, continue it.
That's it.
Continue it. Continue in it. And take the example of what we're doing tonight. Myself, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, the pastor, Pastor Sherrod, his members that are back there with him listening, and just observe how we're doing this thing in love. Observe how we are all together sitting at the table having this conversation, spending the time with another brother and sister in Christ for people to be blessed. Brother Feaster, go ahead, brother.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I'm just moved tonight. On a numerous amount of things, but the thing that really, really, really just touched my heart and man, I'm telling you, I teared up is how we have neglected faith from the tithe. We neglected faith from the tithe, and that's what I heard tonight that I have not heard in church. We neglected faith in tithe. I mean, It's about God and our faith in God. And Brother Sherrod, when you said that, you know, this thing had nothing to do with the bills in the church, but it had everything to do with your relationship with God. If I heard you, then I heard you. And if I didn't hear you, that means this whole thing is messed up and we got to start from scratch. I mean, that was profound to me. That was profound to me. And I just want to thank you for sharing and giving us what God has given you. And brother, just keep stepping out in faith, stepping out on faith, and not letting everybody to your left or to your right dictate or even overshadow what God has told you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got for tonight.
take faith and step out.
Brother Sherry, we're going to let you go ahead and give your final comments. And before you do, we are truly blessed that you were able to accept this invitation to come and sit down at the table with us. And I would really would like for us to sit down again and have more conversation. We got a question. Somebody's put one on the dial pad. So let's go ahead and take this caller first before we come back to you, if that'll be okay. Caller with the last four of 8088. You're on the line.
Pastor Sher, Mr. Dunlap.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Mr. Pastor Rose. I just want to say that I really, 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 truly enjoyed what I've heard tonight. Also, I have really been enlightened on what I've heard Pastor Sher say tonight. Also, Pastor Sher, I want to share with you also that same question that you stated from the beginning about is tithing for the New Testament church. Be honest, I came across that same question online sometime last year, but I will be honest, at this point, I quit. I stopped reading because of some things that I was reading. Mm. But I want you to know that I have really been enlightened tonight, but I want you to restate something for me that you said earlier about the King James Version when you said that it is witchcraft when you take the word of God and try and manipulate. Can you restate that for me? You said something about the King James Version Bible earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'll be glad to. And God bless you. I truly appreciate just the good things you have to say. May God continue to bless and use you. But what I was saying is the King James Version of the Bible, there, everything that was found was not entered. And the reason was because at the time, the kingdom and the dominion of King James was beginning to grow rapidly, and it was getting to a place to where he could no longer rely on the military alone to discipline the people. So he altered what was found to create something that made the people say, if I don't basically govern myself, then God will get me. And he found a way to get the people to govern themselves as opposed to having to use the strong arm of the military. Now, I do want to be clear. I am not saying that the word of God is witchcraft. What I'm saying is that people try to use anything to manipulate somebody's mind. That is witchcraft.
Right. I understood you very well on that. I was not doing that at all. But that was just my comment and question for tonight. And I really have, and I do thank God for my brother, Minister Dunlap, for his radio show.
All right, my brother. I appreciate it. Thank you. Pastor Sher, we'll go ahead and let you get the final comment before we take it out for the evening. And I have a couple comments for the listeners before we go. So the floor is all yours, my brother.
I'll make this short and sweet, man. We understand the Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Nothing means more to you than what you know. Hear God, know God, follow God for yourself.
Amen. Well, on behalf of myself, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, Shelly Caldwell, who is the founder of the We Speak Association Network, is the network which the PRF table falls underneath. We thank you for just taking the time out of your schedule. We thank you for your members and our newfound brothers and sisters in Clarkston, North Carolina, that took the time to sit with us, Connie and Brother Thompson, if I remember correctly. And you do have an invitation, brother, if you will be so gracious and willing, God puts it on your heart to come back and share with us and sit back at the table with us in another episode. And one of the things that I think is really key for us to have further discussion, one of the things that the pastor talked about was when he discontinued tithing, it was at that point that they were able to give away food and clothing, and the ministry grew, and they were able to, most importantly, help each other. I think that is one of the most critical points that I would like for us to have discussion on in a future conversation, because a lot of people are giving to the church, a lot of people are tithing for whatever reason, And if the church is not able to help those who are giving to it, then there's something wrong with that picture. So possessions.resources.finances, it is the Facebook page. We have a lot of conversation going on at the same time. Please join us on Facebook. Like our page. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Come back and join us every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Brother Feaster, one of the things that you had mentioned was we have to start from scratch. So the song that we're going to play, as everybody who knows who's sat at the table with us before, we always play a song at the end of the show. Feel free to stay around and listen to it. Let God speak to you. But starting from scratch, sometimes we have to start over. And it takes courage and it takes obedience to do that. The song we're going to be playing is Rebuild by Jay Moss. So until we see you next week, God bless you and have a wonderful night.
Sometimes I'm cold. Sometimes I'm hot. Sometimes I'm prayerful. Other times I'm not. Sometimes I feel like giving up, yeah. Sometimes my face feels used up. And every time I get in a bind, I know you're there. It's not.